Welcome to Midweek Boost, first Midweek Boost of the year, and I'm glad you're here. We're talking about a catalyst, the catalyst to change, and I'm assuming if you're here tonight that you're thinking about some changes in your life, and I hope that even if you aren't considering changes, that just in these next few minutes you'll just sort of open yourself up, not so much to me, even though that might be good, but open yourself up to the Holy Spirit. He's the one that you need to hear from tonight. He's the one, whether you realize it or not, that you actually came here to hear from. He lives in you. If you've received Jesus, the Holy Spirit's in you. And it's Him that we're looking to talk to us, to minister to us, because He knows exactly what you need to hear tonight. He knows exactly the changes you need in your life. The funny thing is, sometimes we get in our mind what we need to change. Any of y'all ever get that in your mind? This is what I need to change. And you have it all figured out what you need to do, when in reality, that isn't at all what you need to do. The Holy Spirit has a completely different perspective. And if you just open yourself up to Him, He just lets you know what His plan is for you. And so I just want to invite you to do that tonight. I think as we start a new year, a fresh year, we think, oh, well, I want to do this or that. You know, you might be like me, and you might be looking at your closet going, my goodness, I've got to clean this thing out. How did this get in this mess? I know probably none of you have that problem, but some people at my house have that problem. And, you know, and so you're thinking, why did I let this happen? I got to make a change. It could be something as simple as that. But it might be that the Holy Spirit really needs me to deal with an attitude I have, or He needs me to make a change in something that's completely different, that might be more vital to Him and the kingdom than what my closet looks like tonight. I'm hoping so. But anyway, these are just things that we get in our minds, and sometimes we just need to open ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, it could be very much tonight that you know what the Holy Spirit's been dealing with you about. He's always wanting to grow us, isn't He? There's not one of us here tonight that's arrived, even though maybe you think you have. Hopefully not. None of us are beyond change. We're to be changed, the Bible says, from glory to glory. And the whole work of the gospel in our lives is to bring a continual transformation. I'm so glad that all the change didn't just happen when I got saved, but that there has been a continual transformation in my life. And I've said this before. I heard a good friend of mine say it once, and then I stole it from him, and now it's mine. But he said that if you don't have a fresh testimony of what God's been doing in your life this month, then you're really not tuned in to God, and you're really not taking advantage of, and really just even what Kristen was talking about earlier, being obedient. And sometimes we think of a testimony as something that God, oh, well, you know, back 22 years ago, blah, blah. Well, there is that part of your testimony, but isn't God dealing with you today, this week, right now? This is not having, our relationship with God isn't something that just happened, you know, years ago, but the relationship we have with God is today. What is God saying to me today? What is He working in my life now? What is He doing through me and wanting to work in my life in these next few days, these next few months? What's He preparing me for? And so as tonight, as we talk about and begin to talk about a catalyst to change, I just want you to be open to Him. Can y'all do that? I invite you to do that every week, don't I? Okay, let's be open to God. Let's pray. Father, tonight, as we turn our attention to this subject of change, we ask You, first of all, Father, we ask You to reveal Yourself to us. We, in ourselves, do not have the ability to enlighten our own eyes, but You can enlighten the eyes of our understanding. And we invite You to do that. In fact, we ask You to do that. We ask You to reveal the Word to us, to reveal Yourself to us. Help us to see and understand ourselves the way You see us and understand us. Father, we pray that our eyes would see what Your eyes see. And we pray, as Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, that the eyes of our understanding would be flooded with light, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would be open to us. And we pray that. Father, I tonight just pray for all of us that are here and any that might hear this message at a later date. Father, I ask You to speak to us as we individually can hear You. Help us to hear Your voice. You are the good shepherd. It's Your intention that every one of Your sheep would hear and know and follow Your voice. And I pray for all of us that we would have an ability to hear from heaven as never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I just want to talk to you tonight about the fact, we're going to get started in this tonight, about, and we need to start right here. If you want something different in your life, you know this. You have to do something different. I think we've all heard that and understand that if you want something different, or if you want a result that's different, then you have to do something other than what you've been doing. And wherever we are, what we're doing, whatever place we're in, whatever area of life it is, it's a result of what we've previously done. And so here we are. Wherever it is we are, here we are. But, you know, I have seen this in pastoring almost 20 years now, and I've certainly seen it in living with myself for 49 years. I've seen this truth, that we want the results of change, but we don't necessarily want to do the changing. We want the result of the change, but we don't necessarily want to do the changing. Isn't that true? Am I the only one here that that's true for? We look at something and go, man, that would be great. Like, get out of debt. Wouldn't that be great? Or I think it was last Wednesday night, Kelly testified about how he and Tanya had paid off their house. Well, sometimes when you're writing out your mortgage payment, you think, man, it would be great to never have to write this again. Amen. Wouldn't that be great, Jeremy? Wouldn't you like that, man? I know you would. And that'd be great, okay? So we all have things that we would like, but to get to where we want to go, it takes some behavior modification. And, so at some point you have to do something different. And it is a process. Change is a process. Change is not a point in time. Now, you begin a change perhaps at a point in time, but change itself is a process. And I wish that it was just saying, hey, I want something different, and then we'd all have something different. Don't you think that'd be great? Just tonight, here we all are. Wouldn't it be awesome if Team Lean was just sign up? Woo! Wouldn't that be great? Let's just sign up, Miss Dunn. And I think sometimes we think that. But change is a process, isn't it? Haven't you noticed? And some change, my goodness, like the renewing of the mind, it's a lifelong process. It's a change. But tonight, what we're doing is we're getting ready to start, the process. And the process begins at a point in time. And that's what we're going to talk about. Now, tonight, we're sitting here in Augusta, but if we wanted to go to Atlanta tonight, if I wanted to drive to Atlanta, I can't, get out here on Washington Road and then take I-20 East and head down I-20 East and get to Atlanta. It's not going to happen. If I get on I-20 going east, it's not going to take me to Atlanta. And it doesn't matter how much I want to go to Atlanta. It doesn't matter who's in Atlanta, what reward is for me in Atlanta, what benefit there is in Atlanta. None of that matters if I get on I-20 going to the east, because Atlanta is to the west. And the way to get to Atlanta is I-20 West, not I-20 East. But now here's what happens. That just makes so much sense if we were doing something as simple as going to Atlanta. But see, here, if that's the road that I normally travel, and we all have roads in our lives that we normally travel. All of us, we have this road we normally travel. It's the path of our life. And so, if I-20 East is the road I normally travel, I'm comfortable with I-20 East. And see, sometimes we tell ourselves things like, well, I'm comfortable with this, so that's the way I'm going to go. Now, I really want to go to Atlanta, but I'm really comfortable with I-20 East, so I'm just going to take I-20 East. Well, I-20 East, that's the way Mama always went. Mama was always on I-20 East. That was the way she went. She trained me to go on I-20 East. So I pretty much have to do what Mama said, So I got to go on I-20 East. My family always goes on I-20 East. That's just who we are. So that's the way that we go. Or, my friends are all on I-20 East. I don't really know anybody over there on I-20 West. All my friends are on I-20 East. I sure do wish I was going to Atlanta. I'd love to be in Atlanta. I want to be in Atlanta, Atlanta, Atlanta. But my friends are on I-20 East. Everybody I know. People may make fun of me on I-20 West. It doesn't really matter what's going on. We all know it's really ridiculous, because we all know if you want to go to Atlanta, you got to get on I-20. You got to go west, right? That makes sense to us in our minds. But yet, we have, you know, destinations that we desire, the end result of our change. But yet, all those things I just mentioned will keep us from getting to those destinations that we desire. Just because we're comfortable, we're familiar, it's where everybody I know is. It's just the path that's been set before us that we've just been walking. And at some point, though, if I'm going to go to Atlanta, I have to make a decision. And I have to make a turn. And that's where change begins. It begins with a turn. And tonight we're going to talk about the turn. We're going to spend a few more minutes here talking, and then we're going to divide up into groups before we leave tonight. But we're going to talk about the turn, because the turn is everything in change. It's not the only thing, you know, that you have to do, but it's everything when you're getting started. It's the starting place. Now, as we go along through these weeks of talking about change, you'll see there are other factors that are really important. But tonight, you got to start, and you start with a turn. Does anybody know what the Bible word for turn is? What?
Repent.
Now, see, if I stood up here tonight and talked about repentance, you would not be sitting there thinking about turning. Because repent has this connotation to it that we don't like, because repent brings up things like sin. And we don't like to talk about sin and repent. I mean, to some of us, repent means go down front and cry at the altar. It's not something. But really, repent, the Bible word repent means to turn. See, because of what people have done in supposedly repenting, it's given us, this image. But tonight, all of us that want change need to make a turn. And that turn we need to make, the Bible word for it is repent. Now, have you seen the word repent in the Bible? Have you seen the word repent in the New Testament? Did Jesus ever utter the word repent? Well, if you don't know that, read your Bible. Repent is a Bible word. It's not a dirty or an ugly word. And it's also not a word that should condemn you or make you withdraw. It's kind of an exciting word that we get to do it. And you'll see before we finish here in a few minutes, it's actually something that God helps us to do. So it's a good thing. So I just want you to think tonight about repent, because repent means to turn. We're going to talk more about it in a later session, but it means to turn. And there is no change without turning. There is no change. Unless you turn, you're not going to change. Now, here's another word I want to bring up. Well, let me just bring it up in this way. If there's somewhere you want to go and you're off course for getting there, for example, if you're wanting to go out that door right there, but you're walking this way, does anybody know the Bible word that describes that? Fool? Well, kind of. But that's where I want to go. But this right here is what I'm doing. What would you use? What word would you use to describe what I'm doing? Lost? What? Sin. Did you know that's what sin is? Sin is missing the mark. There's the mark of where I want to go, and this is what I'm doing. Well, going this way, I'm not going to do anything except plow through Greg, which is going to be quite a feat if I can manage it. But I'm not going to be hitting that door. This is what sin is. Sin is missing the mark. I'm off course. That's what sin is. Sin is being off course. See, we have Bible words that mean something to us when we're in church and we're, you know, discussing things theologically. But when it comes to our lives every day, we're not thinking about words like repent and sin, you know. When we're thinking about our finances, or we're thinking about necessary relationships, or even team lean or something like that. That's all something else, unrelated to spiritual matters. But I want you to see tonight, there is nothing in your life that's unrelated to spiritual matters. There's not. And so if the mark is there and you're going this way or even this way, you're missing the mark. You're not going to hit the mark. So you're off course. And when we're off course, the Bible word for that is sin. See, we think of sin as like lying, cheating, stealing, adultery. But sure, those are off course, but those are not the only things that are off course. Sin is missing the mark. Now, before Jesus, we were all off course. And I think Sean just said it when I was describing how I was over here. I said, what word? And he said, lost. And that's exactly where we've all been. We were all dead in our trespasses and sins. We were all lost. But before Jesus, we had no hope of hitting the mark. We were just lost. And so once in a while, the priest would come along and make a sacrifice and sort of cover up our path so it wasn't quite so obvious how off we were. But we weren't going to hit the mark. But Jesus, he made a way for us to hit the mark. He did it by the grace of God. He made a way for us to actually get to the destination that God desires and appoints for us. How about that? So whatever it is, and I don't just mean in things that you typically consider when you're in church or spiritual matters. I'm talking about in your life. God can help you and desires. He has a plan, a destination for your marriage, for your family, for your finances, for your health, for your career, for every part of your life. Not just for the things that, when you think about typically when you're in church. All of that, God, we're not like little divided up people that God only deals with us in one way. No, he's interested in all of our lives. And so the change you have tonight may be in something that doesn't seem very spiritual. But I want to tell you tonight, the way to get where you want to go is still by repentance and turning. It is. In fact, the Bible says that he that knows to do right and doesn't do it, that to him that is sin. So you can be in sin just by, if Kristen's supposed to be at the door and Kristen's just sitting there, that's sin. She needs to make a change. Isn't that right? So that it might be something like that that the Lord's dealing with you about. Not so much that you're way off course as much as it is you're just not doing anything about it. That's maybe a change some of us need to make tonight to look at, to examine in our lives, let the Holy Spirit work on us about. So we're talking tonight about turning and making the change. And, there's a scripture. I don't even know if I have a scripture guy. Hey, I do. How about that? In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, it says this. There is a way. It actually says it in Proverbs 16 as well. It's Proverbs 14 verse 12. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, we know that what sin produces in our life is death. So there's a way that seems right to a man, but it's off course. But if you keep following it, it will lead you to death. And that way that seems right, even though it seems right, even though we couldn't necessarily label it as adultery or stealing, it would still, if it's not the way that God has pointed out and planned and appointed for you, it's still going to lead you to where? To death. Now, here's the thing about death. Death doesn't necessarily come. Very rarely does death come, death. I can't make a big popping sound. Anyway, I'll work on that for next week. Death, when the Bible talks about death, there's different things it talks about. One of the things is eternal death. And that's certainly part of it. If you miss God's plan for you ultimately and don't have a relationship with him, you're going to end up in eternal death. But all of us can experience death in our lives. But death doesn't necessarily come just as death, because death starts as discomfort. And death will go on into various stages. It'll get into pain. It'll get into, a place of misery. If you study out the words death as pertaining to sin, sin leads to misery on its way to damnation, on its way to destruction. And that's another thing, something being destroyed. That's all what comes from sin. And that makes sense. Is if this is the way that God has for you, the way of peace, the way of joy, the way of life, and you're not going that way, it makes sense that you're going into something that's going to be uncomfortable after a bit. It may not be the first three steps, but eventually you get going with it, and it will. It's just like some things that we do that are not healthy for our bodies. Let's just say, just take it to the extreme. What is it that they show the pictures of? That people, meth. Have you seen the before and after pictures of people on meth? where they look normal, healthy, and then they look like, oh my goodness. Have you seen those pictures? Well, the person that when they first experimented with meth, they didn't look like the after picture. So the first couple of times it wasn't that. So it started out, but somewhere along the way it started, that death started working and it brought discomfort and destruction, and ultimately it will bring death. And that's what I want you to see. Any sin, if you just stay with it long enough, it'll bring you death. But along the way, there's some discomfort and pain and misery. And so some of us tonight, in fact, probably all of us in one area or another, have some discomfort. And I don't mean the discomfort that comes from standing for a harvest, or the discomfort that comes from being persecuted by others for doing right. I mean the discomfort that we bring on ourselves through our own rebellion against God, or our own refusal to take action the way He's leading us, our own waywardness. I mean, maybe you've struggled with a temper that you don't control, and you blow up and get really angry, and you hurt people around you, and you damage relationships. Any of you have that going on? Don't raise your hand. Any of y'all even know what maybe you've lived with or met? Have any of you ever met anybody that had that, like a raging temper? How destructive that can be. Well, that destroys relationships. It destroys trust. It destroys peace in a home or in a relationship. You see what's going on? Well, that might be something really good to deal with and make a turn from. Or you can just say, well, you know, I'm Irish. Or you can just say, well, I got my daddy's temper. Or you can just use whatever excuse it is you have been using. But it'll eventually lead to some destruction in your life. And it'll end up misery and destruction for you if you don't make a change, isn't it? It's not where you want to be. Okay, so we're just talking about making that change. Now, what is it that enables us when that's where we want to be, and when we're not heading that way, we've identified that as sin when we're going this way. And the thing that we need to do to get to what God has for us or what we desire is we need to make a turn, and we've identified that Bible word is repentance, or repent means to turn. All right. Now, what force is it that will enable us to turn? Is it just our own self-control? Is it just your willpower? Is that what we're talking about tonight? If you're going to change, you're just in here tonight so I can just pump you up, and your willpower. You can do it. You can do it. Come on, team. Let's win. Is that what this is about? Because how long will that last? A few minutes, maybe. Some of you can make a couple hours. Some of you you can get really riled up and really make it for 2 hours. But it doesn't matter how good your intentions are. It doesn't matter how strong you are when you begin to make a turn. Every person in making a change in your life, you're going to face resistance. And if you don't understand this principle, you've never turned a boat around. You ever been out on the lake or on the river or somewhere in a boat, and you're just going on at a pretty good clip, and suddenly you realize you're about to run out of lake, you need to turn, and when you turn around to go back from whence you came, you meet up with the wake. Or maybe, when I was growing up, one set of my grandparents, they lived, their house was a dirt road. And that dirt road had two ruts that went down the middle. And my oldest brother, when he got his car, first car, which was, a hand-me-down from my folks, a Rambler station wagon, he's going down those two ruts. And he decided that he didn't want to stay in them ruts because he wanted to be cool. Everybody else was riding in the ruts. He wanted to be cool and make his own path, make a turn. And when he did, when you come up out of the ruts on a dirt road, you meet with resistance. Well, he was going at a pretty high rate of speed, and he met with enough resistance that it threw him into an embankment. He crashed the car. Were you with him? I was thinking you inspired him. But that will happen. You can crash trying to make a change. I've seen people do it. I've seen people crash trying to make a change. I've seen people like they're going to do something in their marriage and they start making changes and it gets out of hand and they end up divorced, and that wasn't what they intended to at all. It just got out of control. But you're going to meet resistance whenever you go to make a change. When you start to turn, you turn in a boat, you're going to hit that way, whatever it is. And in times of resistance, you need something more than you and your good looks and your great charm. Well, you needed it all along. You just didn't know it. You're going to need more than just what you read, you know, in your Dr. Phil book. You are. You're going to need more than, you know, than what man can give you. You're going to need something else. What force enables us to make real change? Kathy, you said it. Grace. Grace is the power of God to change. It's by grace we've been saved. And honey, that's the biggest change of all. Going from death to life. By grace. And by whatever change God has for us in this year, in these next few days, it's going to come by grace. So tonight, all of us in some way, there's change ahead for us. We're going to need to turn. How do you turn? Turn is repenting. Repenting is a Bible word, and it's about making a heart turn. And the whole thing hinges on not you and your ability. It doesn't hinge on, you know, it's not all just on the shoulders of a man who's really, really, really ready to change. It hinges on your ability to open yourself to God and let Him work in your life. And there'll be some real change. The change I've seen in my life has been by the grace of God. I'd love to say it's been because I've been, you know, so diligent that it hasn't. I'd love to say it's because, you know, I had just, you know, worked and worked and worked and had the best plan that you've ever seen. But it wasn't. In fact, the greatest change in my life almost in some ways seemed like I couldn't really get the plan all that great together myself. You know what I mean? It didn't necessarily make great sense to man. And there were times I've been really uncomfortable with it. And there's been, you know, myself, I felt really kind of like fumbling with it. But God's grace has enabled me. God's grace has changed us. Now, some of you have had real change in the last couple of years. How many of you here, just to encourage everybody else, how many of you here can say in the last, let's say, 3 years, you have seen significant change in your life for the better? How many of you can say that? Wow. Wow. Think about what is that significant change for the better? What brought that about in your life? It was grace. I've seen grace in your life. Grace has changed us. It's simply God enabling us. Now, we're going to close this part, and I'm going to read a scripture. And it's this scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5. Sometimes I think we get the idea that change is going to come if we feel bad enough about where we are. It's really backwards. We think if we're just so condemned where we are, it'll make us get up and do something different. If we can just get condemned enough about where we are. But I'm going to tell you, real lasting change doesn't come through condemning yourself. There's no, how does that make sense? I'll condemn myself into making a change. No, condemning yourself leads to depression. The ultimate expression of condemning oneself is taking your life. So it's not really the way you want to go. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5. These are some verses. It says this several places. It says it in James, but 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says this. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now go on. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Grace comes in our lives through humility. And humility is not condemning yourself. Humility is not, a humble person isn't a person who feels that's down on themselves. A humble person, if you were here earlier this year, I talked about humility for several sessions. Humility means you recognize you're human. In the word humility, it's the word human. A humble person is a person who recognizes that ultimately they are dirt in themselves. And they recognize their own inability, their own inabilities, their own weaknesses, their own frailties. And you just get real with yourself. That it's not by my own strength or my own working this up, my own energies, my self-effort that there's going to be change. You humble yourself and you say something as simple as, without you, I can do nothing. But with you, I can do all things. It's just that simple. In ourselves, we can't make it happen. In ourselves, we're going to just be bumbling along in the wrong direction, lost. But grace will enable us to turn, and it will carry us right into God's plan, purpose, will, right into the fulfillment of the change that He's working in us, that He's desiring for us and putting in our hearts the desire for. His grace will do it. So He gives us the desire to change. And then when we yield to Him or humble ourselves, open ourselves up to His help, say, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. I need your grace. And I yield to that. It's not by my strength, my might, my ability, my power that this is going to happen. It's not by my smarts or my connections or my work in the system or my system. None of that is what's going to make the change. It's your work in my life. And I humble myself and set all of my stuff down and recognize it for what it is, dirt. And I look to you to help me. And ask Him for help and stay with that every day. Stay with it every day. Help me. And look to Him for your help. If you just focus on receiving your help from Him, it will be amazing the change you can see in your life. Now, there are some other parts. We'll talk about it in the coming weeks. But this is where it starts. The turn starts in the heart. So what I'm going to ask you to do in just a minute, we're going to divide up into groups. I'll tell you how we're going to do it. But we're just going to take a few minutes before we go home tonight. And I encourage all of you, I know sometimes people are like, hey, I can leave now. I would just ask you not to do that. And you'll see in a later session why it's really important that you don't do that. But I'm going to ask you to do these two things. And the first thing is, I'm going to ask you to share, you know, as much as you're willing to. Don't do anything you're not willing to do. My goodness, I wouldn't want to ask you to do something that you weren't comfortable with. No, I'm teasing. But however you're willing, it's up to you. I want you to share what area in your life where you desire to see change the most. Whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be some big grandiose thing. It could be just something about an attitude, or it could be something about, you know, a relationship, or any. It could be a pattern in your, whatever it is that's going on. It's about you and what the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. So that change that you want to see, and as much as you're willing to share that. And then the second part, and in doing that, that's kind of humbling, don't you think? It's just kind of humbling to say, hey, I got an issue, or, you know, I got something here, need some help. That's kind of humbling. It's also scriptural to do this. Confess your faults one to another, the Bible says. So it's okay to do it. And then the second part is to pray. Pray yourself and ask for Him, and pray for each other. What are you going to pray for? Pray for grace. Grace is available. Pray together to receive God's grace. And in doing this tonight, start the change. Start the turn. Let's start the turn tonight, whatever it is. Start the turn. Say, tonight is it. I'm starting tonight to receive help. And I just want to encourage you tonight, there's nobody here that's beyond the power of grace to change. Now, you may be beyond your power to change. In fact, pretty much, let's face it, most of us are. But it's not your power that we're depending on. It's His power. It's the power of grace. So I don't want you to think about what you can do. Can I do this? Can I do that? All I'm asking you is tonight, do you want to change? And are you willing to look to Him for the help you need? That's the only question. If you can do that, you're starting the turn. Who's with me?